You'll turn in your Bibles this morning to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. In just a moment, we will read a passage of Scripture there. Those of you who are older here this morning and have spent a lot of years buying different products, I think you will agree with me that things are not made as well today as they were years ago. A lot of times we go buy something and we realize it's basically junk. It's just not made like it used to. And it seems like there's more plastic today than metal. And I realize that plastic is cheaper and lighter and things like that. But we go buy products that we bought 20, 30 years ago. They're just not made the same. And you'll find that especially with regard to appliances and electronics. We live in a throwaway world. And we know that the product that we buy is not going to last very long. Things are cheaper, and we'll have it a few years, and then we'll just throw it away and go get another one. Whereas years ago, things lasted for a long time because they were made well. In the mid-90s, when we were in Corpus Christi, Texas, there were some brethren there that had a refrigerator that they had bought in the 1960s. And this was 1995. That refrigerator was 30 years old, and it was running like the day that they bought it. It's amazing. But you buy something like that today, it's not going to last that long. You're doing well if you can get 10 years out of appliances today. There's so much cheap production. Cheap labor makes a cheap product, and things just aren't made well. In Mark chapter 7, I want us to look at the end of the chapter. You may recall a few weeks ago I brought a lesson from one of Jesus' miracles in Luke chapter 5, and a comment was made at the end of that miracle, and we built a lesson around that. I want to do the same thing again in Mark chapter 7. As we consider the comment at the end of this miracle, he has done all things well. Fortunately, when it comes to our relationship with God and the things that God has for us through Jesus Christ, he makes things well. He doesn't make junk. He doesn't make fall apart things. With regard to our relationship with God, we have things that are well done. In the healing of the man who could not speak and who could not hear, the people say at the end, he has done all things well. And I want to consider that this morning as we look at some things that Jesus has made, and he has made them well. In Mark chapter 7 and verse 31, and again he went out from the borders of Tyre and came through Sidon under the Sea of Galilee, through the midst of the borders of Decapolis. And they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they beseech him to lay his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude privately and put his fingers into his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and saith unto him, Ephratha, that is, be opened. And his ears were opened, and the bond of his tongue was loosed, and he spake. And he charged them that they should tell no man, but the more he charged them, so much the more a great deal they published it, and they were beyond measure astonished, saying, he has done all things well. He makes even the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. Have you considered that when Jesus does something, he does it well? And I hope this morning we will be encouraged to continue serving Christ as we have sung this morning, living for Jesus, because of this statement right here. He has done all things well. In our relationship with God and Christ, we have only the best. What Jesus had done here was enough to bring forth this response. The act itself was well done. They had not seen a man who could not speak and who could not hear immediately speak and hear. They had not witnessed that. Mark uses a word beyond measure astonished, a compound word, just greatly amazed. They were not used to seeing things like this. Jesus was not just another religious teacher. They had those. The land was full of those. The act itself was well done because it was a perfect miracle, just like all of Jesus' miracles. Jesus did not do shoddy work. You know, sometimes we will buy products based upon a tradition or a line of work. You've heard it before. Well, I'm going to buy that from the Amish. Or I'm going to buy that from the Mennonites. Why do we even say that? Because we know that they have a tradition and a background of doing things well. And we're willing to spend the money to get that, whereas other individuals might not do it that great. The motivation that Jesus had was always well-intentioned. It was always for the benefit of mankind. He didn't do it for money. He didn't do it for popularity. He came to seek and to save the lost, and He came to heal, and He came to proclaim liberty to the captives and to help people. That was His motivation. And the result was well-received. And ultimately, the Savior Himself was well known. We're still reading about Him some 2,000 years later. He has done all things well. I want to talk this morning about six things that Jesus has made. And when you look at what Jesus makes, you'll see that He does all things well. And I hope that that will encourage us to continue to obey Him and never leave Him. The first thing that Jesus has made goes all the way back to the beginning of time. I want to consider this morning that Jesus and what He has made in creation. Turn with me to John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. We need to recall that when we read Genesis chapter 1, we're reading what God has created, and He uses His Son to do that. Jesus was a part of that creation. Of course, we know the Holy Spirit was also a part of that creation. But Jesus made all things. And I want you to consider this morning the created world that you and I live in, the created universe that you and I live in, and how well that has been made. In the beginning was the Word, that's Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. When you read Genesis 1 and verse 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Jesus was there with Him, John says. The same was in the beginning with God. He was there in Genesis 1 verse 1, and the Holy Spirit was there. All things were made through Him, that's Jesus. And without Him was not anything made that has been made. Look at the created universe around us. Look at the physical world around us. Look at the human body. Look at the plant kingdom. Look at the animal kingdom. And consider how well things have been made. Do you realize that engineers get designs for products that we have? Do you realize where they get those designs? Engineers often will get designs from the plant and animal kingdom. They will get designs from the human body to make mechanical things. The creation, Isaiah 45 and verse 18, God created our world to be inhabited. He knew that He was going to place man and woman and mankind in an environment, and He made it well. the earth being the proper distance from the sun, not too far away where it's too cold and not too close where it's too hot. And we could spend the rest of the time, the entire day, talking about design. And thankfully, even in our scientific and medical community, we are coming around to respecting and appreciating the design in our universe. That has not always been the case, but in the past 20 years or so, even evolutionists are admitting and coming to appreciate the enormity of design in our world. And it's causing some of them to leave that bankrupt theory and come to an understanding that God created all things. And we're very familiar with Genesis 1 and verse 31. That when God got done creating all things through Jesus Christ, He looks and He sees everything and it was very good. And I'm here to tell you it's still that way. The psalmist says in Psalm 139, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Over the past few months, we've been hearing a lot about this virus and how bad it is, and it is bad. And what's interesting is, as I've been listening to some of the news stories about it, they talk about how that the human body is fighting this virus. And they talk about two things. They talk about antibodies and T cells. And what's interesting is they're talking about these stories, and it's basically a sermon on the design of the human body. And some of them may not even realize what they're doing. They're inadvertently talking about what we've known for years. And so the virus comes into the body and you've got antibodies that fight that and try to destroy that. But if the virus happens to attack a cell and gets in that cell, we also have what's called T cells that will just destroy that cell that's been infected by the virus. So it's like having an offense and a defense at the same time. The human body is extremely amazing. And what's interesting is that there are these stories from individuals that may not even be believers, and the very words out of their mouth are the evidence of a designer behind all of this design. Our body is extremely well apt and adept at fighting things. Now, there are people, because of their age and other kinds of things, where that doesn't work. We know that. But in general, we find that taking place. That's not by accident, friends. That's not evolution. Nope. That was put in there by design. I was reading an article a couple of weeks ago. My nephew works for a creation group, if you will, out in Seattle, of all places. He's working from home for several reasons. Seattle has just gone down the tubes. He's working at home for several reasons. But he sent me an article a couple of weeks ago with regard to design in the human body. And it had to do with the fact that cells can replicate what has been destroyed, can replicate it and make it anew, like your skin. If your skin's been destroyed, your skin comes back. That information to replicate it exactly the way it was before, how did that get there? So replication and recreating what has been destroyed, cells can do that. It's just mind-boggling. Not just creating something, but exactly what was there before. Nothing more, nothing less. Jesus, when He does things, He does all things well. And we need to remember that. There's another thing that Jesus has made, and that is marriage. In Genesis chapter 2, we find that a part of creation was man and woman made in the image of God, and they weren't just simply made separate and distinct where they weren't to have any kind of relationship, but they were made male and female, and then immediately in a marriage relationship from which children would come. The home and the family was made by Christ. And the Hebrew writer says that marriage is honorable. The marriage relationship, that's going to be the relationship that will be described as Christ and the church. There are more and more studies coming out today that show that the marriage relationship between one man and one woman is the ideal relationship not only for those two adults, but for the children. Now, for years we didn't admit that, but now we're again coming around to slowly admit that. I've seen stories recently where it's talking about high crime rates and juvenile delinquency and some of this with regard to the rioting and other kinds of things. And people are asking the question, well, what's the problem with these young people? And in the same story, points are being made. They grew up without a father, or they grew up without a mother, or something along those lines. They're admitting that the home life is the cause of the problem. And I'm so glad that they're getting to the root of the issue. People are coming to see, not two men married, no, not two women married, but a man and a woman in a lifelong commitment. That is not only best for the man and the woman, but for the children that come into the relationship. Even worldly people are slowly coming around to admit that. Why? Because of Genesis 2:18, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make a help meet for him. When Jesus makes marriage, he does all things well. Now, can people mess up marriage? Absolutely. Can people mess up our world? Absolutely. We're going to get to the church in just a minute. Was Corinth divided? Absolutely. But listen to me very carefully. If you find something in one of these relationships that's not right, it's not because Jesus. It's not because of the way he made it. It's because man has messed it up. Jesus does all things well. We find that even in the marriage relationship. In Genesis chapter 1, in verse 27, God made them male and female. And we're on this kick. I call it a kick. It's a fad. Where men are wanting to identify as women, and women are wanting to identify as men, and all of that. And it's not working. Jesus made male and female two distinct individuals, two distinct genders, emotionally, biologically different, emotionally different, socially different, different characteristics. Put them in a marriage relationship, and that was well done. You mess with that, you alter that, you're going to have nothing but problems, and we're seeing that. I shared with you before, sometime ago in a lesson on transgender, how that studies are now coming up out of Europe where there have been individuals who wanted to, quote, transgender, and it's been going on long enough that they're now seeing the back end of it. The front end of it, it's fun and cool and everybody's hyped up about it and we're all on the bandwagon. But now we're on the back end of some of it. High, very high rates of depression, taking your own life, very serious emotional problems that they're now experiencing. You've taken something that was well done and you've messed it up. Jesus does only what is well done. And that's why our creation and our world around us is beautifully designed, and that's why the marriage relationship as God intended it and as it can be and should be, and we see many good marriages here today and families and elsewhere who are benefiting from this relationship that is well done. Jesus gave us the scriptures, the Bible that you hold in your hand this morning. That's well done. Turn with me to Psalm chapter 19. Jesus is the Word. He reveals God, and that revealed Word is written down in the Bible, the scriptures. And what you hold in your hand this morning is well done. It's not just another book of man. It's inspired by God. It's God-breathed. Psalm 19, and we sing about this and we read about it. The law of Jehovah is perfect, restoring the soul. You're holding in your hands that which is without flaw. You're holding in your hands that which is without error. You're holding in your hands this morning that which is without contradiction. You're holding in your hands this morning a book that will raise people up like no other book will. The perfect law of God. That's why it is able to restore the soul, because of its perfection. The testimony of Jehovah is sure, making wise the simple. That's why it can make the wise, that can make wise the simple, because it is sure. The precepts of Jehovah are right, rejoicing the heart. That's why we can rejoice, because they are right. The commandment of Jehovah is pure, enlightening the eyes. You don't hold in your hand a book that is impure. It is perfect and it is pure. It's without flaw from beginning to end. Now, I realize people have attempted to find problems with the Bible. I'm well aware of that. I'm well aware of alleged contradictions of the Bible. I'm well aware of those who have tried to say the Bible is man-written. I'm aware of all of that. But when those are investigated and considered and studied, they're found to be untrue. The fear of Jehovah is clean, enduring forever. The ordinances of Jehovah are true and righteous altogether. There's not one thing in the Word of God that is false. So, verse 10, because of that, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the droppings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them, this Bible that you hold in your hands, the Word of God, by them is thy servant warned. In keeping them there is great reward. Absolutely, because it is well done. It's God-breathed, 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture, not some, not most, all Scripture, or your version might say every Scripture inspired of God. It is the perfect law of liberty, James 1:25. Perfect in every sense of the way. Perfect in the sense of without flaw, and perfect in the sense of can make a person complete in everything that he or she needs to be in the sight of God. He has done all things well. And you're holding in your hands this morning the product of what Jesus makes. And if you're married this morning, you are a part of that product that He has made and the created universe around us. He has done all things. Well, you know, Jesus has also made the church. Upon this rock I will build my church. The church today is disparaged by so many people. It's put down. It's
belittled, it's ignored. So many people today don't want to have anything to do with the Lord's church. Upon this rock I will build my church. Well, what did Jesus build? A group of people, not a building. A group of people. What kind of people are we talking about? What kind of called out body are we talking about? There were groups that a person could be a part of in his day. The Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Zealots and the Herodians and the Essenes. There were groups you could be a part of. Why build something else? Because something else needed to be built that was right. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3, that great book. We're going through this book on the radio program on Saturday mornings, if you have time to listen to that. The great book of Ephesians about Christ and His church and all of the wealth that we have in Christ, all of the blessings that we have in Christ and our responsibilities to walk properly in Him. And it's a great book about the church. And when Paul writes here in chapter 3, notice what he says in verse 10, to the intent that now unto the principalities and the powers in the heavenly places, even beings that aren't human beings, like angels, might be made known through the church the manifold wisdom of God. This group of people displays the wisdom of God, and the church is well done. Now, when some brethren, like at Corinth, they were divided, the seven churches of Asia, some of them needed to repent. Sometimes you'll find brethren here and there that aren't living right. But the church, as brethren are living right, is well done. And look at verse 21. This is where God is glorified. In the church and in Christ Jesus. And we don't need to focus on individuals who mess something up. We don't get rid of marriage because there are a few bad apples that mess up marriage. And we don't get rid of the church because there might be a few bad apples that don't live right. When Jesus builds something, it's well done, and we can be a part of that. We should be a part of that. And if we are living the Christian life, we are going to attract others to the Lord's church. Think about it, brethren. The plan of salvation is well done. It takes care of everything that needs to be taken care of with regard to removing sin, culminating in baptism. Look at the offer of the church. It's to everybody. There's no racial discrimination. There's no group that's off limits. It's provided to everybody. The plan completely removes sin. The life of the Christian betters the individual. They have a better life. Everything about the church is well done. It gives us what we need emotionally and spiritually. That's why we come and worship on a regular basis. There are people during this current problem that are emotionally distraught and depressed and messed up. And they don't have anywhere to turn to. But they could if they would be a part of the church. It helps us emotionally and mentally and spiritually. The plan of salvation. The work of the church. It's well done. It doesn't get sidetracked on politics and social and recreational things. It's well done in that it focuses on saving mankind. Everything about the church, the worship, the work, the organization. We could talk about elders and deacons, and we could talk about the organization of the church. It's well done. It doesn't get off into situations where there's a hierarchy, where one person controls other people. We see how that messes up even human institutions. All the time we get news reports about where someone in a corporation, some higher up in a corporation, messes it up for everybody else below them. The Lord's church doesn't have that because each local congregation is autonomous. Everything about the Lord's church is well done.
He had done all things well. You know, Jesus watches over us each and every day. We got here this morning safely, and Lord willing, we'll return safely because of the providence of God. Jesus not only created all things, but He continues to uphold it. Let's remind ourselves of a couple of passages, and this is why it's important to continue to pray to God through our high priest, our intercessor, Jesus, because He's a part of answering those daily prayers and watching over us providentially. Speaking of Jesus, Paul writes in Colossians 1:15, "Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for in Him were all things created." John 1:1-3, "In the heavens and upon the earth, things visible and things invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things have been created through Him and unto Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist or hold together." Your life is being held together. Your world is being held together at this very moment by Jesus Christ. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. It wasn't a matter of he made it and He wound it up and He walked off and now it just runs on its own. It all runs by Jesus Christ to this very moment. Jesus, who is the effulgence of His glory and the very image of His substance, and upholding all things, present tense, by the word of His power. Upholding all things by the word of His power. So yes, the circular movement of the planets, the rotation of the earth, our weather, the body, the animal kingdom, the plant kingdom, the change of seasons, on and on and on, is all upheld every second of the day by Jesus Christ. And so turn with me to Hebrews chapter 7. What's that encouragement then? We've had prayers already today. We continue to pray. And on a daily basis, whatever our needs are, look at Jesus. "Wherefore also He," Jesus, "is able to save to the uttermost," completely, not barely, not just barely squeak you into heaven, not just barely help you each day, but He's able to save to the uttermost, completely, thoroughly, "them that draw near unto God through Him, seeing He ever lives to make intercession for them." He's doing that at this very moment. So let's continue to pray to God through our high priest Jesus, because He will do it and make it well done. Whatever help we need. And then last of all, Jesus is making heaven for us. He told His disciples on the night of His betrayal, He said, "I go to prepare a place for you." Well, given Jesus' track record of doing all things well, we know that this is going to be a well done place. And that's why we need to keep living faithfully so that we can go and experience that. "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I come again and will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Heaven is not going to be on the earth. Heaven is going to be far greater than anything we've ever experienced. And in heaven, in Revelation chapter 7, Jesus is going to be doing something there with us. He's gone to prepare a place for us. when you look in the book of Revelation, especially toward the end, you find that this is a place that is without sin. It is a place without any flaw. It's going to be a place of perfection. He does all things well. I look forward to going there. I hope you do as well. Let us be faithful and love the Lord and live faithfully so that we can go and experience this beautiful place. And we're told in Revelation chapter 7, in the midst of singing around the throne and praising God around the throne, different verses talk about that. For the Lamb, Jesus, that is in the midst, this is in heaven, in the midst of the throne shall be their shepherd, and he shall guide them unto fountains of waters of life. I don't know the details of that. I know that Jesus in heaven is going to guide us. He's gone to prepare a place for us, and it's nothing like we've ever experienced. I wish people would quit talking about heaven on earth. It's nothing like we have ever experienced. And what a beautiful place that will be. Well, as we close this morning, I want us to think about the response in Mark chapter 7. He has done all things well. And I want you to consider, as we consider this morning, six things that Jesus has made. Given that situation, what good reason is there for not wanting to obey Jesus? We should want to come and obey the gospel. Be a part of that church that is built well. Let's be a part of what Jesus has done and made well. If marriage is something that is for us, be a part of that. It's a good thing. It's an honorable thing. Be a part of the church. Be baptized into Christ and live faithfully and be a faithful servant. That is a good thing. Keep praying to Jesus. Keep your eyes on heaven. And I keep thinking about the design that's in the universe. It was no surprise to me to hear a story about how the human body has these intricate designs in it to fight off viruses. That wasn't some news flash. We've known that for years. And that's one of thousands of things going on in the human body that are beautiful in its design. Let us be a part of all that Jesus has done, and let us never ever leave that. From time to time you find individuals who have been a part of what is good, but for some reason something in the world has gotten a hold of them and they've left the Lord. Let us never leave what Jesus has done well. Well, we're going to stand and sing a song of encouragement in just a moment. Maybe we can assist you in making your life right with God if you need to be baptized into Christ or come back to the Lord in some kind of way. We would certainly encourage you to do that. I hope this morning has been a reminder that we might live in a world that is made with a bunch of junk. It probably started in the 1970s when we started outsourcing a lot of our production to other countries, made in and then fill in the blank, and that basically meant, well, you're going to get some junk probably. And we've been around that a lot. But I'm here to tell you this morning, when it comes to our relationship with God, it's not like that. He's done all things well. And let's continue to be a part of that. And if we can help you to begin that this morning, why wouldn't you come as we stand and as we sing?